It's Friday, and it's time for Let's Eat with me, Chef Nick. Join us from 3 to 4 for an hour of food, drink, and a little information. Call in and have a chance to win a gift card. Call 769-9577. Thanks for tuning in to Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM, WLPR.
Thanks for tuning in, everyone, here to Let's Eat. I'm Chef Nick. You're joining us here on 89.1 FM, your Lakeshore Public Media. We're live in our Merivale studios on a beautiful day, and I welcome you all here to our show. How you doing, Tom?
Nick, I am doing really fantastic for a mid-October Friday. Typically, you'd think it's like cold and rainy, and it is week 9 of high school football tonight.
TGIF. Thank God it's football.
And it is 9 straight weeks of perfect Friday nights.
I don't think, I've been doing this here at the studio solid for at least 5-6 years at least.
Right.
If not more. And I don't think I've remembered a season like this with the weather for football season.
Yeah.
By now, I remember bringing food in and it'd be like all drizzly and it's nasty and it nothing like that.
We would have games delayed until Saturday. The show would get canceled halfway through the night because of weather conditions. It has been above 70 for kickoff for 9 straight weeks. Looking ahead to next Friday, we're looking at like 60s and 70s again. I don't want to say it, but I'm not complaining.
No, but you know what always happens? Halloween usually hits us like that.
That snowstorm in October.
Those little kids always seem to get the cold weather. Up until now, it's perfect. What's great is I got another week I can pull the top down on my car, I think.
I saw that. I saw the top was down. You weren't in it. Some other guys in the lot were rummaging through it looking for something. Not sure what was going on there.
Yeah, some guys with beards maybe?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, not me.
So today we have a special guest. We have Badera Bar and Restaurant out of Crown Point. And in the studio we have Ann Kane and her brother, BJ Kane, and their head chef, Jack Coxon. How you guys doing?
Good.
Great.
Good.
Well, thanks.
Yeah.
Badera Bar and Restaurant is located in Crown Point. And tell us exactly where you're located, because it's kind of off the beaten path, isn't it?
Yeah, we are. We are just north of the square, so straight down Main Street. There is the infamous tank there where they do the Christmas lighting, and it's kind of a little historical tank. And you take it right there in Goldsboro, and we're just down on the right-hand side across from Small Town Coffee, and we're hooked on to the Young American Salon, if you're familiar with those two businesses there.
And how long have you been there for?
We're going on 3 years. This year, April will be 3 years for us.
Is that the old Mady's
location?
Is, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
The old Mady's Irish Pub.
Yep.
But
yep. Okay.
It's not like the old Mady's Irish Pub at all. This place is really beautiful. It's done very, very well. I don't know who did your decor and stuff. It's got like I said, clean lines. It's kind of chic looking. It's got great food and got a great bar liquor menu, I guess you want to say. What do you focus more on there? Because they're both, what you do in both, like what Jack does in the kitchen and whatever they're doing at the bar, I mean, it's just not beautiful. So what's the bigger draw? Is it food that people come in for, or is it drink that come in for?
I think it's really an equal focus. Uh-huh. I think we do a phenomenal job, and BJ does our bar program and puts all the cocktails menu with one of our head bartenders, Risa. And then with chef's experience in the kitchen and how amazing his dishes are, we put a full concentration on both areas.
So, BJ, where'd you get your background on bartending, I guess.
Well, my background, I started right here in the region with TGI Fridays, believe it or not. They put me through a pretty extensive bar training program. That's where I started, and through the years just kind of evolved and developed from there and went on to become bar manager and head bartender's places and got a lot of experience through that, and so that's how I ended up here.
Is that something you went to school for, or you're just like you got a job and like, hey, we need a bartender, are you interested, or what was that process like to get involved or get into that?
Yeah, so what that was back in the day, I started out when I was 20, and back then you could not serve alcohol. They didn't have the the license that let you do that
at 18.
Yeah, at 18. Okay. So I started off bussing tables and just kind of prepping salads and desserts for a month, then kind of moved to server. And then when I turned 21, there was an opportunity to become a bartender. And back then, it was at Fridays, it was a pretty big deal. You had to go through extensive interviews with the managers and all the other bartenders. You had to take a test that was upwards of 300 different drinks. You had to know them front and back, garnish, glassware.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the training program itself was 5 weeks. They did it right there in the restaurant. So
I tell you what, I used to work for a place called Santini's Italian Cafe out of Cal City. And I ran the kitchen, and I got tired of that, so they put me to manage the bar. And I tell you what, to be a mixologist is kind of tough. It's not an easy job. People just think it's rum and cokes and, you know, martinis, but there's some intricate drinks that you got, you know, that are put out. And I seen on your website and stuff, some of the drinks that you do are, you know, got foam on them and they smoke. I mean, they snap, crackle, and pop.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, we do have the smoking gun where we use a special topper for that to smoke the cocktail. That one's got a little Aperol, a little muddled cherry in it. It's a very popular drink. And then I've gotten the Flavor Blaster Bubble Gun, which helps us put the
Flavor Blaster Bubble Gun.
It is.
I feel like in the cartoon, that's when the music goes dun 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 dun.
it's an eye-catching little contraption there.
Okay.
Everybody wants to know what the bubble drink is, and those have become very popular. We've got two drinks with the bubble on them: the Merrily, which is named after our grandmother, and then the Reka, and we put the bubble on top of those.
Okay.
You're tuned in to 89.1 FM, and if you want to call in and join the conversation and maybe win a gift card from Badara Bar and Restaurant out of Crown Point, call 219-769-9577, 219-769-9577. You know, Tom, we usually, when we have restaurants that offer alcohol, we don't start with the alcohol. We usually rest. So, Jack, I don't want you to feel left out.
No, not.
Okay. So
I let them talk a lot.
We have Jack Coxon here from Badara Bar and Restaurant, and why don't you give us a little background about yourself?
Whew. Been in the industry for about 30 years. Started as a child. It was either get a job or finish high school, and I decided to go with that road. I've just been working ever since. I've been under some really excellent chefs in my career, and that's really what kind of pushed me to...
Where did you originally live?
I'm from upstate New York in a place called Chatham, New York.
Okay.
First restaurant I ever worked at was called Blue Plate.
Okay.
You know, washing dishes and peeling potatoes as a kid. Since then, I've worked for Stephanie Izard, Jordan Andino. Deb Plaquette is probably my favorite mentor, but mm-hmm. I've had some really amazing chefs that gave me an opportunity to kind of tell me to shut my mouth and learn how to do something.
Right.
You know, and it was a long, hard road to get here, but I'm really grateful to be here.
What brought you to Crown Point?
I was working in Chicago when COVID hit, and that was my first corporate job. I was working for a company called Tavistock, and they decided to close their one Chicago restaurant, and I had already bought property in Dyer, Indiana, and started doing catering out of the home. So if there's any police listening, please just stop listening now.
I won't take their calls.
Thanks. You're fine. I appreciate that a lot. You know, and I couldn't keep up with the restaurants when they started coming back on.
Oh.
And I went on to Indeed and just happened to link up with Ann before they were even open. So I've been here since day one.
See, Indeed does work for people.
Yeah.
Barely. Hey, well, Ann will take it. Ann will take it.
You know, I agree with you, Ann. We used to use Indeed in the restaurant. It's amazing how many people apply but never show up. And, you know, it's crazy.
It is crazy.
And you know what? I want to introduce Ann Kane, the owner and operator of the Bar and Restaurant out of Crown Point. How you doing, Ann?
I'm wonderful. Thank you.
You were here a few weeks ago because we had the Crown Point Wine Fest, and that's how we met.
Yeah.
So we figured we expand and find out more about your restaurant.
I appreciate that.
We were sharing the time between two other people.
Yeah, yeah.
Now it's all you.
Awesome. Thank you.
So why don't you give us a little background about yourself?
Sure. I'm from Crown Point. I was born in Indianapolis, moved over to Crown Point when I was probably about 2 years old. So
oh, really? Okay.
I'm from Crown Point. My family's from Crown Point. I went to Crown Point High School, graduated from IU, degree in business. Uh-huh. And I love some of my favorite things are travel and, of course, food and drink. What else, right? So,
have you always been in the hospitality industry?
I have not. In some of my younger years, I was in the hospitality. I was a server, and I worked in hospital food services. So I've got a little bit of experience.
Well, that brings discipline.
It sure does.
Well, when you're dealing with schools and hospitals, you know, there's a lot of discipline in the kitchen. It's not nilly-willy like in some of the smaller kitchens.
Oh, absolutely. I started out washing dishes and moving my way up in the food services. So I've just had a passion for food and cocktails. So
is that really quick? I hear that, you know. I was washing dishes.
I was a busboy.
Like, you're a busboy. So, like, is that just sort of like if somebody gets involved in the food service industry, it's sort of a learn from the bottom rung and kind of climb your way up? Is that expected or
pledgeship?
You got to earn your chops.
What is it? Pledgeship.
Got to earn your chops.
Got to earn them. Yeah. Okay.
So it's like pledgeship. It's weird. Yeah. And like what Tom was asking, I mean, that when you do that, people are focusing in on you, and they're seeing how your work habits are. Are you coming in on time? Mm-hmm. And people out there that want to get into business, if you're a hard worker and you show it, you can move quick through even the bigger corporations when it comes to the restaurants and the bars and things like that.
Very true.
So it's only that next step, so to speak. Because, I mean, there are obviously, because we do the show every week, there are careers in the restaurant industry. There are careers in hospitality, even if it's not at the management level, it's bartending, it's being the head chef, you know, so the sort of the background there in terms of, you know, you don't always need the degree or the education or the specialty to do it. Yeah. I'm trying to talk myself into becoming a professional cupcake baker here, Nick. Help me out here. But yeah, I find that interesting in terms of the restaurant industry because everybody says it, but it's not like a shtick. It's not like, oh yeah, you got to do the dishes, you got to wash the tables and sweep the floors. Like, but literally, that's how everybody kind of gets their foot into the door.
You know, I don't. You guys can chime in, but throughout the years I've been in this business, you know, the guys that come with all this pompous paperwork with them, and I've seen it, really aren't the guys. They end up, you know, you'll see them 10 years later. So what are you doing? You know, they're, oh, I'm working for, you know, this company doing this. They're not even working in the kitchen because only certain people can do it.
That's right.
Very
absolutely.
Again, if you want to call in, join the conversation, 219-769-9577. We have Badera Bar and Restaurant here from Crown Point. And we have Ann and BJ and Jack here joining us with the conversation. Where'd you come up with the name? Because I seen your last name's Kane and your brother's last name's Kane. How'd you come up with Badera?
So Badera, when I was trying to think of a name for the restaurant, I kind of put some of my favorite travel destination places in my mind, and Australia being one of them. And this is an island off of the northeast coast of Australia, and it was just one of my favorite destinations. So I wanted something, a pretty easy name to remember, a great destination place like our restaurant, and something that just a great memory for me.
And your restaurant and your bar have something in common. You have to be 21 to be on there.
This is true.
So to come into your place is a 21 and over.
It is, yes.
Okay. What kind of seating? How many seats do you seat? How many people do you fit in there?
Our capacity is 88, so just under 100. But we have 76 seats in the main dining and bar area. And then we have an additional 44 on our patio. So our patio right now is seasonal.
Uh-huh.
We have some thoughts of being able to close it in for the winter this year, but we're working on that now. So
it's 70 degrees and sunny on a Friday is, you know, you might want to keep it open a little bit longer.
It's open. It is open, yes. And people love it.
And it's all table service. Right. I mean, you have waitresses and stuff, you know, like that.
Yeah. It's not like a Chipotle where you're walking up and like, I want this on that bowl or that on that bowl.
Absolutely not. Okay. Yeah, we have servers and bartenders.
BJ, you work out in the bar section? Is that your...
I do. I kind of mix my time between behind the bar and then just...
not on top of the bar? No dancing?
Not on top of the bar. Yeah. Not yet.
So let me ask you, what's the atmosphere in there? What is the decor, the colors? What's the feel?
So, you know, the feel is, it really starts with the music.
Yeah, I was going to ask you
when
that.
You
that's
walk
one
in.
Of my questions.
There's, you know, we kind of, we here keep the keep the vibe going with some nice upbeat, loud house music.
Okay.
And what people's see, most people see right away when they walk in, is the liquor rack above the bar.
I've seen that.
Really nice aesthetic, catches people's eyes. So it's I love seeing the reaction on people's faces when they're on their first time in. They just kind of
They're in Chicago.
Their eyes open up. They say, "Wow, this place is great looking. You guys have a great place here." So it's.
Where does the menu ideas come from, Jack?
That's a great question too. Knowing that Ann's concept was trying to be more of, you know, even our hashtag is, help me out here.
Not shareable, but
our hashtag is Destination Crown Point.
Yeah.
So the whole theme had been very much like a vacation getaway for me. And I use this place, unfortunately, I shouldn't say it, but I use it like a playground. I love research.
Mm-hmm.
That's my favorite thing of the whole career is learning cuisine and, like, we've done Indonesian food here before. We're not trying to be...
You don't lean towards anything special?
I try not to. I really try to keep it very... Wherever my head is at in those next couple of months, that's what I'm really trying to do. And I think that brings a very unique feel for us as well, because you can't go to anywhere else that I'm aware of right now and get a gado-gado salad.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, I'm looking at the ingredients on the menu. Not even like necessarily the items, but it's red Thai curry broth.
Right.
In your pea mussels. You've got fried risotto balls stuffed with mozzarella. You've got...
And lemon.
And you've got the caramelized red onions. We see that, but a lot of goat cheese. Mm-hmm. There's honey shallot vinaigrette, right? There's a lot of ingredients on these these menu items that you're not getting at a regular sit-down restaurant.
No.
So it is a different flavor profile, I think, for the tongue. And this is just, for folks listening, this is just on the dinner menu, not even the specials or the Sunday brunch or the lunch menu yet.
Right.
But, like, just seeing all of those different ideas and concepts. So for you, Jack, is it like, you know, you get an ingredient and you build a dish around it, or how do you go in to create that dish? Do you go in with an idea and then figure out what works to make that idea happen? How does that process play out?
It really goes into tradition for me. I really like to look at if I'm working with a certain region, I want to know what that region was doing in the 30s. Where are they at now? How do these different flavors go from such a long time? Because we know that a lot of great food has started from very poor people.
Right.
So
using up leftovers, whatever they had.
You know, if we can keep doing stuff like that and enhancing it and working with good flavors that people aren't used to, that's really where it comes down for me. I get off on that. I really like to be different, and I don't. Every time we sit down and have our meetings and we show that people around us are starting to do certain things to like us.
Right.
You know.
It's a compliment.
It's a massive compliment.
Yeah.
But now that they've figured it out, I'm on to the next trick.
Right.
I want to do something different. And the bar is very similar.
It's like theory of the aggressor.
I love what we're doing right now.
We like to set trends.
You ever hear theory of aggressor?
I have not. You'll have to teach me after the show. But I did just learn that I'm apparently very poor because I love to take my leftovers and make fancy food with them. So
we're all poor.
That's right.
We're all poor, bro.
Who we got on the line?
We've got Gary calling in from Hobart. Gary, welcome to Let's Eat.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Two things. Do you locally source anything? Have you? And also, I saw crab on the menu. Is that real, like, Maryland crab, or where's the seafood come from?
Our seafood is coming from Fortune Fish and Gourmet, which is a very swanky. I'd like to call them swanky. It's a nice, very nice out of Illinois. Locally sourced ingredients, I've been approached a few times. I really would like to do that, probably with things more on events when we're doing like bourbon tastings and things like that. Makes a little bit more sense for us. But I would love to always work with the locals, for sure.
All right. Well, it sounds interesting. I've never been out that way, but...
You got to come see us.
Well, we're going to entice you to come to Madeira Bar and Restaurant in Crown Point.
I love being enticed.
Okay. And gave me a gift card, and we're going to send it out to you. So it gives you a chance
to
move
in. Well, thank you very much.
Like I said, when you go to Crown Point, make sure you roam the whole square. Make a day of it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I intend to.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Gary. So can we entice them? Can we talk about the food?
Yes.
Man. I tell you what, Nick, I think I had the best tomato soup I've had in a long time,
you know, like,
sitting on that table.
And I was telling Jack about the tomato soup. It's, you know, sometimes you get tomato soup and it like gets acidy from the tomatoes and it like you can feel it on the side. But this tomato soup was smooth.
Or it's too runny.
Right.
Or it's too chunky.
Yeah.
And it's more like a tomato, almost a tomato
paste.
You
must sift it.
I do not.
You don't sift it.
My Italian friends don't like how I work with tomatoes at all. I don't put any salt in the bisque, nothing.
Yeah.
When we're making our bisque, it's just plum tomatoes cooked down with some onions.
Really?
That's about it. Once that liquid is evaporated.
Well, how about the skin?
They're all peeled. It's all peeled.
Oh, you get them peeled.
Whole peeled tomatoes from California.
Okay. No, the seeds?
They go right in.
Yeah, because I didn't notice anything. I mean, it was smooth as can be.
Vitamix is a great tool.
And what was paired with that?
Just some heavy cream and basil.
No, I mean, what food do you...
That gets paired with the bourbon grilled cheese.
Grilled cheese. And can you explain that one for us?
So we take white onions and we caramelize them down. And once it's caramelized, we add a little bit of bourbon, cook the bourbon down, add some fish sauce, and just let it cool.
And what else did you bring in?
We brought in our smash burger.
Which was Tom had some, I
had some. Oh, man.
That was good.
I make a good burger at home, like just on my own. But like, there is something always about a restaurant burger that tastes different.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always a good different. But like having the double patty, the melted cheese, and then what's the sauce that's on the burger?
Yeah.
Dijonnaise.
The Dijonnaise, yeah, that is, you're not getting a Dijonnaise on a cheeseburger in Northwest Indiana that I know of.
And what kind of bread do you use on that?
Potato bun.
Oh, that's a potato bun.
Yes.
That was really, really
good. The Irish in me loved it.
There's so much richness on there that it didn't make sense to go with a brioche and have it be super rich even more. So I really, that burger to me was kind of a tip of the cap to just an old school burger shop burger.
And what else did you bring in? The item they said it looked like a dessert to me. That was drizzled with the balsamic, actually.
Goat cheese.
That thing is pretty.
The goat cheese.
That
thank
is
you
a
very
pretty
much.
Looking dish.
Thank you. Goat cheese and onion flatbread.
Okay.
So that's got some goat cheese, chopped thyme, blue cheese, then the caramelized red onion, and then topped with a little bit of balsamic and arugula.
And everything, I must say, everything on the table that was brought, you can check it out on our Instagram page,
right.
Let's Eat POD. Everything is really colorful
and
bright. Like even the grilled cheese isn't
it looks
just
hearty.
Your. Yeah, it's not just your standard. I make a grilled cheese every day for my kiddo, and, you know, it's a two pieces of bread, two pieces of cheese, and maybe he wants some turkey in it. I get it. It's a melt, not a grilled cheese. I hear you. But. Like everything on there, it pops with your eyes, and it's like there's purples and there's yellows and there's oranges and reds that really like,
they
look like BJ's plaid flannel shirt that he's wearing right now. It's like you look at it, I don't want to eat you, BJ, but like it just the color profile matters so much when it comes to food too.
Yeah, and you know the textures, like the grilled cheese was an extra thick cut of Italian bread.
No, it's the sliced panini bread.
Panini bread.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that was really good. I mean, that makes it. And what was the last item?
Good question. That was a while ago. Oh, the
sandwich.
The spicy capicola and burrata sandwich, which I'm from New York. I wanted to do some things that made a little bit of sense from where I'm from as well. Just a big old hunk of burrata in there. We do a pepper relish that we make in-house.
Yeah, people love, you know, out east, they all love that capicola and,
yes.
And all sapasola and all those
cola. Gabagool.
All that kind of stuff. Jack, BJ, do you ever go in the kitchen and help?
What's that?
Do you ever go work in the kitchen?
You know, I try to stay out of the kitchen as much as possible. I mean, they let me handle the drinks, but I don't know if anybody wants me to handle the food too much. But
you're always welcome.
I've dabbled in kitchens in other restaurants before, but I'm a bar guy. So
you're more of front of the house.
I'm a front of the house bar guy, so that's kind of where I stay. I mean, my hands are real soft, and I I keep them that way. So
do you guys like then sit together and like, hey, I'm going to create this dish, and then you figure out, okay, I either A, have something on the menu, or B, I have to come up with something that can get paired with the dish, or is it just kind of you each work out of your own sort of laboratories and then just whatever you
I mean, do you offer pairings?
Chef,
I mean,
on the menu. Chef is really good at the collab part of it. We kind of put our heads together occasionally and figure out something to do with what we just
our
Bremen event. We just infused an old dark rum that we had the other day, and Chef came up with putting some ginger and some black tea and steeping that for a few days, and
I saw that. Do you do chicken wings that way?
We do a black tea brine chicken wing. Yep.
Explain that. I've never heard it.
What?
Black tea brined chicken wings.
Yeah.
Black tea brined.
So you make black
wings.
Tea.
Yep.
Do you make it more concentrated or?
It is more concentrated.
Okay.
It's about 40 tea bags, and then we put about 3 oranges in and let it sit overnight, and then you get the brown. It comes out brown.
The
skin is all brown.
And then how is it handled after that? I mean,
we bake it. Okay. And then when it comes to order, we will fry it, toss it, put it on the grill.
Oh, really? That's a lot of steps.
And then toss it again.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. So it's not just,
you get a lot of flavor on those wings.
Yeah.
So
I tell you what, they didn't bring the wings in. I'm going to call. I'm going to call up so I can get a gift card.
Coming on Thursday, they're $5.
219-769-9577.
And how long have you and your brother been working for, with each other for?
Just since the restaurant started, or just shortly before.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
How's that work out? I mean, how's your relationship? Has it made it stronger? Are you guys always been kind of close?
Yeah, we've always been kind of close, and it's been no problem. We all get along great.
I feel like you have to working in a restaurant together specifically versus we work in the same office together. It's one thing. Like in the restaurant, it's like you kind of are just in each other's face, in each other's personal space. Like, was this like before the restaurant? Was there ever conversation like, hey, we should start a restaurant. Hey, we should go into business together.
Many years ago. So I was living in Indianapolis for about 25 years. Moved there right when I started bartending, right when I was 21. And years ago, Ann had brought this up and said, hey, I'm thinking about this bar and restaurant.
A seed.
And she's like, could you help me out? And I'm like, I'm in India and I'd love to, but, just probably not going to happen now.
Yeah.
And I just ended up, got a chance to move back. And shortly after I moved back, Ann broke ground on the restaurant. And so here I am.
Twisted your arm. She's like, you're already here. You might as well.
It's been great. Yeah.
We're in Indy. Where are you living at?
Mainly Hamilton County. So Westfield.
Yeah.
Fishers area.
Yeah, I lived in Fishers twice. And I tell you what, like it's really cool to see how that town grew, because the Fishers that you probably remember from, when you first moved there 25 years ago, and when I lived there 30 years ago, like it just was, it was a small farm town, and all of a sudden it's grown and had this really kind of like vibrant growth. We're kind of seeing the same thing here in Northwest Indiana, especially in Crown Point, where it's like
big.
It's just growing big, and so. Part of that is when you move somewhere, you want to make sure that like there's things to do. There's fun places to go eat. There's fun places to go see. I mean, who doesn't love just staring at a tank every time you drive by it?
Right.
My 6-year-old does, and that's about it. But like, it's one of those things where I think we're seeing a lot of communities in Northwest Indiana really revitalizing and revamping their downtown areas to try to get more local businesses, more local restaurants, because every town has a Wendy's and a Taco Bell and a McDonald's and a Burger King. Like every town has that. Every city has that. It's what do you have that is sort of that local delicacy, that either a local hidden gem or just something that everybody is going to in terms of wanting it. Oh, we're going to Crown Point. We got to go to Badara, right? That
framework.
Well,
that's what's going on. Like Badara is it's kind of very unique. And what's cool is that small towns like Crown Point, which used to be your basically gyros and hot dog place, that's all there was, gets a place like yours. And your place, because of how it's set up, how nice it is, the food that it offers, the service that it gets, the next person that wants to open up, like you were saying, they want to be better. And that just makes the whole community better overall. I mean, if you just opened up a hot dog place, that's it. The rest of the place to be like that. And to talk about the menu, Jack, you were talking about how you get inspiration by looking at a picture of the ocean, or but season works into that?
Absolutely. Yeah. A lot of those colors you're seeing on those plates over there, it's all about fall and getting, you know, now we're getting into that heavier season, so the food is probably going to be a bit heavier as well.
And what he's saying is, are you always constantly kind of changing up the menu? I mean, the menu we're seeing now, do you just clean slate and start all over? How do you handle it? Because he seems like he's full of ideas. He's chock full of ideas. I know how he feels. Because, dude, my restaurant had 350 items, okay? Because I could not stop. Mm-hmm. I could not stop, you know? It's like somebody gives me an idea. Oh, Popeyes? Oh, okay, we'll make Popeyes. You know, it's cold out. And then, you know, then it goes on the menu. Oh, let's make calzones, you know, for a special. And then it goes, and I can see that's how you are.
Yeah.
So how does that work with the menu?
Yeah, it works out great. We have kind of our core menu that we keep, and we do change that seasonally, you know, twice a year typically. And then every quarter, we have our seasonal menus or our feature menus that come out. And that's where his creativity really comes to play. He, you know, he's got full reign of the kitchen to do what he wants, and it's the same as
BJ. BJ's got to be the same way. I mean, absolutely. Do you get excited when the seasons change?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, a lot of my inspiration comes from just seeing new products that my vendors can show me, and I like to get inspiration that way. And we, you know, like Ann said before, one of my bartenders, Risa, helps me. We kind of play around, get a liquor in, we'll play around with it a little bit and say, hey, we could do this drink with it. And, you know, just evolves from there.
So do you have a special of the day, special of the week? Do you have a special day that offers something? I mean, how?
We have all of those things.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
tell us about a few of them then. Entice the people out there.
Well, from that caller in, we do those wings. We do have a $5 wing and half price draft beer on Thursday. And that was something we were talking about for a long time. And then we decided to do it. And you question these things because when they go off and you're like, well, why isn't it popping?
Yeah.
And then slowly but surely it starts to catch up. That's one of the struggles that we have being off the square is that communication in our area does not really reach the people the way you would hope that it would in a small environment. Coming up on 3 years of business, and we still have people that live down the street walking in going, I had no idea you were even here.
I was there at my place for 10 years on Randolph Street, busiest street in Winfield, mm-hmm. and there was people even after 10 years to walk up to say, you know, we didn't even know you were here.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it's like the challenge is, how do you get that word out?
Yeah.
We show up to every event. We throw our own events. We try the very best with our media people. I mean, every time you see us at Bulldog Park, you can guarantee about 70 people have said, where are you? Mm-hmm. You're in Crown Point?
So what would you consider your signature item?
I don't think I have one, honestly. I think that Badara has many signature items. Me, as a chef, I don't have one. I've always dreaded that question. What's your favorite thing to cook? And it's like, I like to cook everything all the time.
What you brought in a few weeks ago, was it the skirt steak?
Yeah, our skirt steak skewers. That's one of our features right now.
I was going to say, that was so good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was real good. I would say that was almost like a signature item.
Yeah, it's one of our features. It's a Moroccan rub skirt steak over house-made Spanish rice.
These guys are the ones that pushed me. I've been pushing back on beef for a long time because I know how important beef is in Indiana, and I wanted to just show other things. We've had, you know, ahi tuna on our menu, and mm-hmm. you're looking at it going, why is this not selling? And then I get some flank steak, or I just get some skirt steak or something, it's gone in a minute.
Yeah, you got to kind of know your crowd, don't
so
you?
So you really play to the crowd for sure.
And there's drink specials. The thing I notice as well, the Badara Nail, it's got a Glenlivet 12-year-old scotch. The after dinner Boulevardier?
Close.
Boulevardier. I failed Spanish. I didn't take French.
That's how I think you say it.
I don't know. It's got American oak bourbon. So playing with some sort of heavier drinks, the spice pear margarita with some tequila, gin in the Forest Collins with some ginger beer. the drink specials, is that, as Nick talked about, you were talking about just a couple of moments ago about the changing of the seasons, is it a seasonal thing? Is it a, like you said, a, I've got this new gin in, or I've got this new tequila, or this new aged XYZ that I really want to try and incorporate and bring into it? How do the drink specials work in that regard? Or do you just throw a dart at your menu and say, these are the four or five I'm doing this month?
No, so that's...
I'm tired. Let me do that.
It's kind of a combination between, we're coming up on fall. We're going to do maybe some heavier features, like you said. The nail is not something we've ever done before. We've never done a feature with scotch, which is kind of a risky thing to do. It's all kind of bourbon now. There's not a lot of people that doing scotch, so we kind of wanted to do something different. We made some candied oranges for the nail, and then a candy orange coated with cocoa powder for the Boulevardier.
Okay.
So that's definitely different for us. As far as the the new gin, the Forest Collins has a St. George terroir gin. That's
it's a terroir, not a terroir. I looked at it as terrier. I'm glad I didn't say that. Terroir.
Looks like terrier. Yeah. Looks like terrier, but I got the lowdown on that, and that's terroir.
All right. So
St. George is a distillery in California that does some great products. They do the spiced pear for our spiced pear margarita.
Okay.
And the two gins that they just came out are fairly new, so we wanted to kind of incorporate one of those gins into one of our cocktails. So that's going into our Forest Collins. So
okay,
a good drink.
Folks, you're listening to Let's Eat on 89.1 FM. We have the people here from Vidara Bar and Restaurant out of Crown Point. We have Ann, and we have BJ, we have Jack, and they have gift cards. So if you want to give us a call and join the conversation, 219-769-9577. So, Jack, I like beets. As I got older, I liked them. I didn't like them when I was a kid. How do you prepare your beets?
Traditionally, I throw them in some aluminum foil and roast them. A little bit of oil on them and salt, pepper, and let them roast. I let the beets have a great flavor. They should talk for themselves.
Yeah, when I was a kid, my mother used to just boil them until
just bush.
Yeah, and then we would just put a lot of lemon juice on it. That's how it was in our Greek family. It was a lot of lemon juice. Let's talk about some of your proteins.
Sure.
So what other proteins do you carry? I noticed you have like short ribs.
Short ribs. Short rib has been on the menu a bunch of different ways. Now it's in a taco.
Okay.
We were doing polenta and some form of red gravy. That was a while ago. Mm-hmm. The problem with thinking a lot about this stuff is you forget what you did prior to what you're doing now. So right now we have Prince Edward Island mussels. We have...
And how are the mussels prepared?
We can have them two ways, with the white wine garlic, or you can have them in the red curry broth.
Okay. And for people that are out there and they get mussels from the grocery store, what should they be looking at to make sure those mussels are fresh?
Not frozen is a good start. You're going to want to see that they're sitting on ice and they're not actually just ice.
Yeah.
You know, you want fresh. some of the people that we've experienced early on here were, I had to give them lessons, and they were eating razor clams and saying that, you know, your mussels don't look like the mussels that I'm used to eating. And then they explained them to me, and New Zealand razor clams.
Is mussels a good item for this region? I mean, people go to the mussels?
I think it really helps to ease people into seafood.
Okay.
I think it's got enough brininess to it to where you can give them that ocean feel.
Uh-huh.
And not, you know, some people, self-included, I don't eat a lot of mussels. I don't eat a lot of oysters. When I do, they need to be super-duper fresh, and that's, you know, I like the way they taste fresh. I don't want to taste them slimy.
And you brought in the fried risotto balls?
Mm-hmm. Arancini.
Oh, did you get those last time?
No, I did not. They were gone by the time I got back to the studio.
I think that's the next thing I'm going to make at home, really. And I was going to make them, but can you explain that to everyone? Because it's such a,
sure.
It's such a, I don't know, heartwarming, hearty, flavorful, I mean, fun-looking item.
So, I mean, you take the process of making risotto, the regular way to make risotto, and
yeah,
once you've cooked your stock down and everything has been added and evaporated, then you add more Parmesan cheese, add a little cream. At Vidara, we add lemon peel, and then you just let it sit in the refrigerator. It's got to be cool. So then you can play with it and then make a little ball out of it, roll it in some egg wash and flour.
Oh, it's panko, so good.
Fry it up.
The first time I had one was an Italian lady that was my daughter's friend's mother. And I thought it was just one of the most interesting things I've seen. I mean, it's got texture. It's got crunch. It's got
really creamy in the middle.
You know, I noticed you have sliders. Okay, so you have like a beef slider. But one I've seen that you never hear of when you go places is a chicken slider. How is a chicken slider prepared? I mean,
I like to take our chicken thighs, and for those sliders in particular, we marinate them overnight in buttermilk and
Frank's. So when you do the chicken slider, you're preparing this chicken totally different than and for any other dish. This
That's
is just for that. That's
just
cool.
For that.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, you let for me it's a lot about marination. I really stuck to southern cooking, and a lot of southern proteins get marinated overnight. And
right.
It's just stuck with me. They do it for heavy muscle meats, and mm-hmm. I do it for almost every meat. So.
You know what it is? A lot of restaurants and people are not patient to marinate.
That's also true.
Isn't that true? Isn't that true? It's like even myself, I don't have the patience to sit there and just let something sit. Even with bread, I mean, there's breads you can make, and it takes a day. You know, you're supposed to put it away and bring it out. I don't want to make those breads.
Right. Yeah.
I guess by working at around the clock and all the fat coffee shops when I was little, it was always like fast. And cooking's not all about being fast all the time.
It doesn't have to be. I mean, you definitely cook certain things fast, but if you're looking for more flavor and more dynamic, you know, foods, then yeah, you take your time with it. You can't smoke a meat in an hour and a half.
No, you can't. You can't. That's why, you know, that's why it's good to tailgate and you put a chicken in the smoker. Have it all day.
Come back in about 4 hours.
Tell us about some of the salads you carry.
Salads.
We're going to run down a little bit on your menu here.
Yeah, let me take a look at this menu. Let's see where we're at.
We've got the harvest salad, which is our new feature item.
The seasonal, harvest salad. So it's got some cabbage and
Brussels sprouts.
Okay.
It's phenomenal. I've been eating that nightly.
You have portobello mushroom salad?
We do not. Nope.
You don't? That's one of those you switch out.
Yeah, at one point we had a portobello. Why can't I think of it? What was that portobello dish we did?
We did something
real
with
shaped
thin remember.
Portobello. It was like a portobello carpaccio or something similar to that.
You do lettuce cups? Explain a lettuce cup.
Chicken lettuce cup, same thing. I like to use chicken thighs. We marinate the thighs in an Asian style marinade for about 48 hours. And then that's the same. That chicken goes into one of our very famous dishes, the chicken buffalo egg roll.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you make your own egg roll?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Every day.
Now, that's just amazing. You don't get a lot of that, first of all, where everything's made from scratch.
How big
is your cooler?
It's about as big as this room.
We have a very small freezer. We have hardly anything frozen. Yeah. Most of our freezer space is taken up by our craft ice that we make in-house.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. For the drinks?
BJ, tell us about this. So you have those big ice balls that are
the cubes, which kind are they?
Not only it's the cubes, but they come out crystal clear. It's called ghost ice, and it's a pretty awesome thing. It's based essentially a big cooler with ice molds on top. The ice molds have holes in the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Fill it from the top, put it in the freezer for 2 days.
Any special water you have to use?
No, you used tap water.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Ours is filtered.
Crown Point water is good water. Yeah. It's Indiana water.
Filtered Crown Point water, and in 2 days, pull it out, let it thaw out, and you get some crystal clear ice cubes. So,
yeah. And then we make the orange cubes as well. We have
Crown Old Fashions. Yeah. We have ice ball molds. We use orange juice and an orange liqueur and make the ice balls for that cocktail as well.
It's amazing how the whole bar area has evolved since I was a kid. I mean, it used to be, you know, if a restaurant had a bar, you know, it was just basic. Now the bar area is like having prep, like the kitchen has prep. I mean, do you do your own syrups and things?
Yeah. We make our own simple syrups. We're squeezing our own juice every day.
Yeah. It went from buying everything in to now making everything, and what's the advantage you feel like that is?
So it's a big thing on our craft cocktails. They're handcrafted. I think that when you're making things yourself, it's just you're getting the freshest ingredients, and that's kind of our thing. We're not going to pre-batch any cocktail, and it's all handmade. We like to just keep that process, and I think it makes a better quality drink that way.
Yeah, it's cool. Like in the kitchen, everything's plated, so it looks good. Which everything looked good there. Like Tom said, everything had colors in it, had texture, had body to it, had flavor to it. In the bar, and I noticed this on your site, you have all these different cups. You have different cups for different drinks.
A lot of different glassware.
Does it really make a difference on how the things taste, or is it all visual and then it tastes different to you?
You know, a lot of it's visual. Some of it's for aromatics in a cocktail. It's visual. As far as old fashions, you want a nice big double old fashioned glass with your big ice cube in it.
Mm-hmm.
That's traditionally how you do that. You know, we've done some gimlets in the past, and we use the coupe glasses, which are the rounded martini glasses.
I thought I saw a tin cup or a copper cup.
Yeah. The mules traditionally go in the copper mugs, so we keep those for the mules. So.
I noticed your glassware even has a bee on it.
Yep.
You can get it all labeled.
Yeah.
See, all that plays into the whole atmosphere of entertainment, because the restaurant dollar is an entertainment dollar.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
I mean, if you just want to eat, you go to a store, or you go like just to a McDonald's, you just get something. But when you go to places like yours, it's become an entertainment dollar.
Yeah.
And you know, like in the bar is, like you said, all visual, glitz and glamour, nice stemware and glassware and cups. Now, do you guys got TVs in there? Do you do anything like that? I didn't see that.
We do have a couple TVs, which is one behind the bar and in the dining room. We're not necessarily
focused
on a sports bar, but we'll try to put some cool. Right now we have campfires going on our TVs.
Nice.
And it creates a pretty cool atmosphere. And we will play a game. Right now the playoffs are happening in baseball, so we had a few people last night wanting to watch the game. So we turned on the game for them. It's a pretty amazing watching people at the bar top when you don't have sports on a TV or a program on the TV. They'll be talking to each other, but the instant you turn something on, something interesting on the TV, all the attention goes up and nobody's talking anymore. Mm-hmm. So we try to not put it on, just to kind of create that
a communal
atmosphere. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's why we have a paper menu too. We don't really believe in the QRC
thank
codes,
you
the QR codes.
I hate that.
Because everybody's on their phones, right. But you don't see people on their phones in our restaurant.
That's
very
good.
Rarely they'll be on the phones.
I sometimes leave my phone. Well, I'm from that age, I mean, where I don't even think about my phone. I just kind of leave it. We're talking about all the savory food, all these drinks. Jack, what do you have there to clear our palates? What kind of desserts do you offer?
Well, desserts. We are actually transitioning some of our desserts out right now, but I think the number one that really goes for us is the pistachio cheesecake. That's got a lot of likes to it, and the chocolate layer cake.
Mm-hmm.
We like to give things a run for a long time, and I think we just learned that one of our employees is probably an exceptional pastry chef, so that's also in the works, and I don't think you have a lot of people around this environment that have pastry chefs in the same kind of programs that we're doing. And I wanted to hit on something that BJ, in BJ's realm, one thing I loved hearing when I go to the bar, I hear frequently from people that are like, I've never had an espresso martini that is this good. Why is it this good? And it's because, we're working with small town coffee across the street. They're making the espresso per drink. We're not batching these out. You're not getting a diluted thing here. And I think that we approach a lot of our product like that. What's the best thing that we can do with what we have?
We're coming right down to the end of the show here. Catering, real quick. Do you do catering?
Absolutely.
We do.
Now, do you have a catering menu, or is it something that...
We have a catering menu.
Okay.
It's listed online.
Now you're set. You don't have a catering area but you can push tables together to make.
Sure.
Now what happens if somebody comes up and suggests something other than what's on the menu? You think you can appease to it, or
people do that all the time?
They do. Yeah, we get as creative as we can, and that's what we love. We're boutique. We have a basic menu, but we also can steer off if we need to. So Chef and I or BJ and I will work together on those kind of things. And we do private events, too. So
that's cool.
It's pretty cool. We have a lot of buyouts, and people come in and do bridal showers, and baby folks, showers.
And I encourage folks, like now it's the holiday time, you guys got gift cards.
Yeah, absolutely.
You need to, you know, you need to support your local businesses, you know. And this place here, I tell you what, but Derek can easily be in any big city.
Oh,
I mean, it's just that cool. And I'm saying that honestly. I've been in places in Chicago and stuff, and when I walk into a place, it's like, this place is really, really cool. Who do you got on the phone?
We've got Nicole calling in. Nicole, welcome to Let's Eat.
Hi, thanks. This is Nicole from Indianapolis. Hi, Bedard team.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
I was just calling to see if you have any upcoming events happening at the restaurant.
Yeah, actually we do. We just wrapped up our Rabbit Hole Bourbon event. Thanks to one of our vendors, RNDC, they supported us on that event, and it was a very successful event. And on December 8th, you can stay tuned, we're going to be listing it on our talk site. We're going to have a bubbly event. So we're going to be offering different bubblies from different regions. So it should be very fun, especially in time for the holidays.
Do you do any live entertainment inside? Do you ever have like acoustics or comedians or?
We did for a while at our Sunday brunches. We might bring it back up in the fall.
Let's
the
talk
winter.
About that real quick. We want to get them in. How about the brunches? Well, what's that all about?
Yeah, so we have brunch every Sunday from 10:30 to 3:30, and it's not so much shareable. It's more individual, but there's plenty of food.
I see you have biscuits and gravy.
Oh, we do. It's phenomenal. Mm-hmm.
I can see that being
a
big draw.
And Bloody Marys as well on the brunch menu, too.
Yeah, Bloody Absolutely. Marys, mimosas.
Maple bacon waffles, Belgian waffles.
Breakfast sandwiches.
Yeah, yeah.
You can still get the smash burgers on the. Maybe they should come in. Maybe we should do a Let's Eat brunch show and just,
yeah,
you know, we'll just
drop in.
We'll just drop in and, yeah, just eat the food and, yeah.
Eat the food and talk and drink.
That's right.
That sounds like fun for us.
Nicole, thank you so much for calling in.
You know what? Real quick, I want to do. You know, I'm going to just do it with you, BJ. I'm going to give you a real quick questionnaire. You answer real quick. Ready?
Ready.
Your favorite ice cream?
Peanut butter and chocolate.
Do you like roundabouts or you like stoplights?
A roundabout all the way.
You are from Indianapolis. Yeah.
I tell you what. When I first hit my first roundabout in Massachusetts, I stopped cold like a deer with headlights on. Favorite cooking show?
Favorite cooking show? Hell's Kitchen.
Well, that's cool. Cats or dogs?
Dogs.
Favorite shape of pasta?
Favorite shape? Ooh, I like the little bell pasta. What are those called?
I don't know.
Bow tie
pasta?
If you only had that one song you can listen to for the rest of your life, and that was the only song they played when you wanted to listen to music, what would it be?
You could put on Stairway to Heaven any day.
Worst smell?
Worst smell? Anything burning.
Okay. Best smell?
Best smell? Ooh. It's a tough one. Let's say any flower.
Wine or beer?
Beer.
Apples or oranges?
Oranges.
Okay, this is for you, Ann. 6 words that describe your business.
Craft, boutique, culture, family. Wonderful.
You got one more.
Destination.
Well, we wrapped up an hour, Tom.
There's still some food left. I'm going to have to bail out here for a few more minutes and shove my mouth before anybody else comes back and grabs the leftovers. Because, as I learned, I love leftovers.
Real quick, Jack, what's your favorite shape of pasta? You're the one I should have asked this.
Oh, I would probably say egg noodle.
Okay, I got another one for you. If you only had one dessert to eat for the rest of your life and that was dessert, what would you eat?
I'm not a dessert guy. A donut?
You guys have your own house-made donuts, too, right, on the menu?
Yes, we do. Only at brunch.
At brunch. I've been studying the brunch menu like I got a quiz on it on Monday.
Coming out with some double chocolate.
We got like a minute left. Yeah, so the donuts are all made in-house, and then you've got like a separate like glaze or covering for them like each week or each month.
Just depending on what, and I work really close with a guy in my kitchen named Matthew, and he has been just... The guy running this.
Donuts.
So
I just love donuts.
He ran the donut thing, and now he's doing a double chocolate chip donut starting probably this Sunday.
Yeah. Well, honestly. I want to thank the folks from Badara Bar and Restaurant out of Crown Point. Give us your address real quick.
419 North Grant Street.
And on social media, where can we find you guys?
www.badarabar.com or Facebook or Instagram at BadaraBarCP.
I want to thank Jack Coxon, our head chef, BJ Kane, Ann Kane, owner and operator. BJ Kane is the mixologist there. I want to thank everyone for listening. Don't forget, we have game night that starts at 6 o'clock, so you can hear what's going on with all your local high school games. Hug your family really, really tight. Tell them you love them. And don't forget to grab your dog, give him a little scruffle on the face, and give him a big old kiss. Yasu!